Last week, we looked at a conversation that Jesus had with a Roman officer, and the conversation was all about authority. And it's a familiar story to most of us, and the thing about familiar stories is that we can often look at them and miss the main point that Jesus was trying to get across, or that Paul was trying to get across. And so with this story, what we could have done is we could have read it, and we could have come away with the idea that all we had to do is have enough faith. All we have to do is believe that Jesus would do something, and he would do it. Just believe that Jesus would heal us or answer our prayers, and he would do it. All we have to do is muster up enough faith. Now, of course, we would have totally missed the point if we did that. If you weren't here last week, make sure you go to the website and watch it on there, so because it's background to what we're talking about today. The gist of that sermon was that our faith, the object of our faith, needs to be in the authority of Jesus, not in some preconceived outcome that we have. So our faith should not be in the outcome of our prayer, but in Jesus and his authority, knowing that he always does the right thing. He has all power, he has all wisdom, and he's going to always do the right thing. A lot of times, maybe this happens to you, we'll be going through some kind of difficulty, and we'll pray to God, we'll be begging God, and we'll desperately wanting a certain outcome. And if we don't get that outcome, we don't have peace. And what God wants to do is he wants to get us to the place where we trust him enough so that we pray in his authority, in the authority of Jesus, knowing that he always does the right thing. And then we receive his peace no matter what the outcome. Now, today's sermon was supposed to be about the Day of Atonement. It's one of the most important Jewish festivals. However, I felt nudged with the Holy Spirit in the last week that I need to change directions because of all the feedback I got from the last sermon. I was in prayer about it, and the Lord brought a bunch of scriptures to my mind that I didn't include in the last sermon. And so to round it off, we're going to focus on some of those scriptures about the authority of Jesus. This is such an important topic to know and believe from our hearts that Jesus really does have authority, and that knowledge needs to affect how we live and even how we feel. When I was... I've got to move this out of the way. I'm going to trip over it. When I was growing up, our family would pray a prayer before we ate, and we'd pray another prayer. These are sort of memorized prayers, another prayer before we went to bed. And all of our cousins prayed the same prayer. Before we ate, the whole family, there's nine of us sitting around the table, and we'd all fold our hands, and we'd bow our heads, and we'd pray, just like, you know, the Norman Rockwell picture of the family praying. Perfect family, eyes closed, except mine. I was peeking, making sure that everybody had their eyes closed. That was my job, I thought. And we pray, come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Let these gifts to us be blessed. Amen. And then before we would go to bed, Mom would come to each of our rooms. Mom or Dad would come to our rooms, and we'd kneel beside the bed, or she or my dad would sit at the bed, and we'd pray another prayer before we went to sleep. And it was like this. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we got older, our parents taught us to pray in our own words and using the tagline at the end of all of our prayers, in Jesus' name, amen. And a prayer wasn't complete until we said, in Jesus' name, amen. And that stayed with me right up until today. For most of my life, I didn't question what I was doing. I just in rote sort of said, in Jesus' name, amen. And I didn't really question it. And I thought, when I prayed that prayer, that my prayer didn't have any weight to it or didn't have any power to it if I didn't add that tagline. And it sort of came to be sort of a magic incantation like abracadabra. So in Jesus' name, amen, poof, your planter's wart is gone. In Jesus' name, amen, there's your new car. In Jesus' name, amen, all your problems are solved. And it's sort of like abracadabra, poof. And I wouldn't have said it that way, but that's sort of what it felt like. Now, this is such an important concept. God, of course, does not require us to say in Jesus' name, amen, and there's no more power to our prayers if we say in Jesus' name, amen, at the end of our prayers. But I still pray in Jesus' name, and knowing that, reminding myself that I am praying in the authority of Jesus, I'm praying in His authority, I'm recognizing that it's by the His death that paid the penalty for my sins, and His resurrection from the dead that gave me life, that I have gained access into the presence of a holy God. It is in His name, it is in His authority that I can be in the presence of God, that God will hear my prayers and He will answer them. And it's only by His authority. We actually have no authority outside of the authority Jesus gives us. None. When I officiate weddings, before I let the couple seal the deal with a kiss, I say, by the power vested in me by the province of British Columbia, I now pronounce you husband and wife. And then I allow them to kiss. And of course, I assume that's the first ever kiss that they've ever had. And the fireworks go and all that. And it's quite beautiful. But I have no authority on my own to marry anybody. The authority I have in British Columbia comes from Victoria, from British Columbia. I don't have authority to marry in Alberta or Saskatchewan or anywhere else in the world. I only have authority to marry in British Columbia. June 23rd, we're going to Alberta, and I'm going to be officiating a wedding there. And so I've got a temporary license to marry Ruth's niece. And so they're going to get married, and so then I will say by the power vested in me by the province of Alberta, I now pronounce you husband and wife. But it's only for that one day. If the wedding day gets moved at all, they're sunk. They aren't going to get married. So, likewise, we operate under the authority of Jesus. We have no authority except the authority that Jesus gives us. Now, the Pharisees and teachers of the law in Jesus' day would often question His authority. And even the passage that we looked at 2 weeks ago where the friends brought their paralyzed friend and dropped him through the roof and interrupted Jesus' sermon, remember that? Jesus didn't get upset. The first thing He said to this guy was, be encouraged, your sins are forgiven. And not meaning that I forgive you for interrupting my sermon, meaning you are totally forgiven for every sin you have ever committed. You are right before God because I have the authority to forgive your sins. Now, of course, the Pharisees and teachers of the law, when they heard that, they freaked out. They thought that Jesus was being blasphemous. And so in response to that, Jesus said in Mark chapter 2, verse 10, He said, okay, so I will prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. Now, the question is always about the authority of Jesus. It's the most important thing that we can know about Jesus. This is the most important thing. Mark this down. This is the most important thing that we can know about Jesus, is that He has authority over everything. Everything. Completely. When Jesus taught, people often said, wow, he teaches with such authority. Where did that authority come from? He doesn't teach like the other religious teachers. He teaches like somebody with authority, meaning that He doesn't teach truth. He's not just teaching truth. He is truth. And that's what Jesus said about Himself in John 14, 6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus didn't come just to show us the way. He didn't come just to teach us the truth. He didn't just come to show us how to give to live a good life. He came as the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. He is the authority, and he is the author of life. Now, we often quote the Great Commission in our sermons at CRBC, because this is why Jesus has called us, and we remind ourselves of this often. So the Great Commission is from Matthew 28, 19 to 20. And Jesus, one of the last things he said before he ascended to heaven was, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." So these are the marching orders that he gave his disciples. They're the marching orders for the disciples of Jesus from then on until he comes again. Is one of the last things that Jesus said before he ascended to heaven. And so it's so important to remember that this is the business we're in. This is the business of the church. It's our mission statement, which is right here, leading people to become committed followers of Jesus Christ. That's what we're about. Now, there's a verse that precedes it, in verse 18, that often gets neglected, but it's so important. Look at verse 18. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples." So I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. All authority belongs to Jesus. Therefore, here's what you are to be about. Under his authority. All authority belongs to Jesus. All authority. Think of this, all authority. That's a lot of authority. It's all authority. So there is no authority, there is no power in all of the earth or all of heaven that is not accountable to Jesus. So we need to base our lives on this truth, on the authority of Jesus. When we wake up in the mornings, before we get out of bed, we need to recognize that we are living our life according to his authority. When our feet hit the floor, I'm living my life according to the authority of Jesus. When I go out in the morning, wherever I go to, whether it's to work or to school or at home or out recreating somewhere, I am doing all of this under the authority of Jesus. When I have a conversation with somebody in the grocery store, I am doing this under the authority of Jesus. All authority in heaven and on earth is accountable to Jesus. So important. There's a well-known passage in the Gospels. I think it's in all three synoptic Gospels. We're going to look at the one in Mark chapter 4. And it's with Jesus and his disciples, and it really brings this to light. Mark chapter 4, verse 35, "And it struck fear into the heart of the disciples of Jesus." So Mark 4, verse 35. "As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let's cross to the other side of the lake.' So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat and with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up." You got to see the humor in that. Like, the disciples are freaking out. There's a storm. It's not a closed cover boat. It's open. Waves are crashing over the boat. Jesus is sleeping in the back of the boat without a worry in the world with his head on a cushion. It's kind of funny. So the disciples woke him up. "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the wind and the waves obey him." Who is this man? Even the wind and the waves obey him. He has authority over nature. What does that mean to you and me today? He was and is God. So what does that mean? So is Jesus just a theological idea added to all the other theological ideas that we have in our system of belief? How many can recognize this? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From then he shall come to judge the quick and the dead, or the living and the dead. You know what that is? The Apostles' Creed, yeah. It's the Apostles' Creed. So is Jesus just another theological idea tacked on to your statement of faith or your creed? And you give intellectual assent. Yeah, I believe that. I know that's true. The question for us this morning is very important, and it's going to not only determine where we will spend eternity, but it also determines how we do life right here, right now, in Camel River, or wherever you live. It will determine how you face difficulty. It will determine how you face opposition. The answer to who Jesus is to you will even determine how you face uncertainty in regards to your future. It will determine how you face the trauma and the tragedy of your past. The question for us is this: is Jesus just a theological idea or a historical figure, or is he the one true God who really does have authority in heaven and on earth, and have you given him authority over every part of your life? Every part of your life. You know, Jesus even has authority over your past, if you let him have it. But here's the deal. Satan is a liar. How many of you know that? Satan is the father of lies. He's the accuser of the brothers and sisters in Christ. He deals in lies and half-truths, and he will tell you that you have to be defined by your past. You failed in your past, and so from this point on, you are a failure. You are defined by your past. That's what Satan would have you believe. It's a lie from the pit of hell. It's a lie from Satan. Satan will tell you you are no good. He will feed you all kinds of lies that keep you paralyzed with fear. You know, the only weapon Satan has is lies and half-truths for those who are in Christ. That's the only weapon he has. He has no other weapon for those who are in Christ. We need to know this. He deals in lies and half-truths, and he is continually accusing us before God. That's what he's doing. He wants to bring you down. There are lies that all of us believe about ourselves, about God, about others. And Satan would have us paralyzed in fear because of those lies and think that we have to be chained to our past. Jesus came to set us free from all that. That was one of the first songs we sang this morning, right? He set us free from all that garbage. The Bible says that Jesus came to set the captives free, to give sight to the blind, and to give hope to those who are brokenhearted, and that the truth will set us free. That's what he said in John 8:32. And that means that we can combat the lies of Satan with the truth of the authority of Jesus. Jesus has authority over everything. Let's take a look at this another passage in Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 31. And this happened again, like the last two sermons, in Jesus' ministry center in Capernaum. So Luke 4:31. Then Jesus went to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and taught there in the synagogue every Sabbath day. And for those of you who have been to Israel, you've probably gone to Capernaum, and the synagogue is just a stone's throw away from where Jesus hung out most of the time, which was in Peter's house. It's just a stone's throw away, and that's where he hung out. So he's teaching in that synagogue And there too, the people were amazed at his teaching, for he spoke with authority. Once when he was in the synagogue, a man possessed by a demon, an evil spirit, cried out, shouting, "Go away! Why are you interfering with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus reprimanded him, "Be quiet. Come out of the man," he ordered. At that, the demon threw the man on the floor as the crowd watched, then it came out of him without hurting him further. Amazed, the people exclaimed, "What authority and power this man's words possess. Even evil spirits obey him, and they flee at his command." The news about Jesus spread throughout every village in the entire region. The wind and the waves obeyed him, and even the evil spirits, the demonic world, obeyed Jesus. He had authority, he has, and he had authority over all heaven and on earth. There is no authority that is not accountable to Jesus. And the Bible says that one day every knee will bow. Every knee will bow. Every knee will recognize that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so the question for us this morning is, do we trust the authority of Jesus, not just for eternity, but for yesterday and today and tomorrow? He is the God of the past, the present, and the future. I want to give you a real-life example from my own life about a way that I continually struggle with this. I've been told by a number of people in my life who love me that I don't know how to Sabbath. Adrian, Dale, Jim, Leora, Ruth, and others who love me. And the Sabbath means rest. Sabbath was a spiritual discipline that God gave us to replenish our energy. And Sabbath was actually one of the commands that God gave his people in the Old Testament. Remember the Sabbath. Remember to rest. Now you got to wonder, why is that so important that we rest? Sabbath is a way of trusting God. Now, I have a difficult time Sabbathing because I don't really trust God. And I want that to sink in. Now, my work as a pastor is never done. If there were 48 hours in a day, I would not get all my work done. And I have so many pulls in so many different directions. And I have such a strong desire to be better at whatever I do. And so I have a hard time just doing my best with the time that God has given me and then stopping and resting and trusting that God's going to take care of the rest by the authority of Jesus. Now, this is something that I'm currently in the middle of learning from Jesus. Remember the passage I often quote to you from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, where Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." And I often quote this. "Take my yoke upon you, let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Now it's time I started to practice what I preach. I took my first long weekend in last weekend, long weekend, in many, many years. I can't remember the last time I took a long weekend. I can barely remember the time when I took 2 days in a row, 2 full days off. And there are many weeks that go by, many long weeks go by, and I don't take a full day off. And I'm not telling you that so you'll say, "Oh, aren't you such a hard worker? Good for you, Pastor Jeff." Please do not say good for you. I'm confessing to you that it is not okay. It's not okay. I have not trusted God enough to give him authority over the ministry that he's given me. You know, Jesus promised that if I would take his yoke upon me and learn from him, he would give me rest. And I haven't trusted in the authority of Jesus enough to do that. You know, the Sabbath is not just another ministry that we tick off our religious to-do list or another religious thing that we do. Oh, I did that, so God's going to be happy with me. I didn't work on Sunday. Oh, yay. That's not what Sabbath is. Sabbath is all about trusting God. Do I trust God enough to use the time, use the energy that he has allotted to me, and then leave the rest to him? And that principle is doesn't just relate to taking one day off a week and giving it to the Lord. That's for all of our lives. Do we trust the authority of Jesus? That's just one way, that one example of how Jesus is teaching me to submit to the authority, to his authority in my life. There are other things that he's trying to teach me as well, and we're working on some of those things, but we don't have time to list all my the ways I stumble along. But life with Jesus is all about learning to surrender control to him in everything. Do we trust Jesus enough with whatever causes us anxiety? Do we trust him enough? How about you? Maybe for you, you aren't a workaholic. Maybe for you, it's something else. What is it? In what ways do you wrestle control from Jesus? Is it with your career? Is it with your relationships? Is it with your kids? Is it with your unsaved loved ones? Is it with your parents? Your future marriage partner? Your future retirement? Your past? Your insecurities? Your health? Your daily life, your busy schedule, your to-do list, never-ending to-do list. Remember, all authority in heaven and on earth belong to Jesus. All of it. That's a lot of authority. It all belongs to him. And so we need to put our whole lives through this sieve of the authority of Jesus. So what areas of your life are you holding back from the authority of Jesus? And there's nobody here who isn't holding back something, believe me. And if you think you are, then let's have a conversation and I'll be the lawyer. What lies is Satan trying to convince you to believe about yourself and about God and about others? I was on the way to Starbucks this last week on Wednesday to work on my sermon. And I was listening to CBC on the way, and they were interviewing two men, a young man and an older man, and they were interviewing them about when they met 25 years previously. And the young man at that time was just a baby, so he had no recollection of this at all. The older man was a firefighter, and it was Remembrance Day, November 11th, and he and his fire chief were walking on down to the cenotaph, to the Remembrance Day service, when their pagers went off, saying that there's a fire nearby. And it was within walking distance, so they ran around the corner to this building. They tried to gain access to the building, but it was so full of smoke that they couldn't get in. And so they ran around to the back, and the fireman looked up and noticed that there's a woman in the second-story window holding a baby out the window to protect it from the smoke. And so he got an overcoat from somebody, and he wrapped it around one arm, wrapped it around the other, sort of fashioning a gurney to catch the baby in. And he went below the window, and he looked up at the woman, and he said, "Drop your baby." And the woman frantically said, "No." And he said, "Just drop your baby." And she said, "No." And he said, "You need to trust me. Just drop your baby. I can catch your baby." And so she dropped the baby, and the baby landed safely, don't worry, landed safely in the arms of the firefighter. And another thing I know you're worrying about is the mother. They put a ladder up to the building, up to the window, and she was reunited with her baby in about less than 5 minutes. And so on Wednesday, this last Wednesday was the 25th anniversary of that event, where that mother trusted in that fireman and let her son go. Isn't that a powerful story? What's the Lord telling you to trust him with? What are you not letting go to Jesus? Because Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. He's got authority over your past, if you let him. He's got authority over your present, if you let him. He's got authority over your future, if you let him. All authority, past, present, and future, is accountable to Jesus. And he is fully capable of handling your life, past, present, and future, if you let go. Let's read a couple other passages about Jesus' authority and power. We need to know this. This is so important. The most important thing that we need to know is that Jesus has authority over everything. It's got to get from our heads to our hearts so that it affects how we live. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 19. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. Pay careful attention to every word here. So I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. And so we need to ask ourselves if we really believe this. Because if we do, it will reflect in how we live, and it will even eventually affect how we feel. Those feelings, those emotions that you struggle with right now, Jesus can give, you can give authority to Jesus over those, and he can eventually work those through so those feelings come in line with reality, with what is true about Jesus and what is true about you in Christ. Do we really believe that Jesus has power and authority over all things? And have we surrendered our lives to him in every way? Likely not. Likely not. And I know that the Holy Spirit is speaking to some of you right now, and he's gently nudging you to let go and let him catch you. You can trust him. He's strong enough. All authority belongs to him. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. Now, I'm just giving you a sampling of some of the scripture passages that talk about the authority of Jesus. This is just a sampling. So we need to read this and actually believe what we read. Colossians 2, verse 9. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body, so you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. Now, these are such amazing truths. The Holy Spirit has been speaking to me and urging me to let go and fall into his very capable, strong arms. How about you? And there may be some people here today who have yet to trust Jesus with your eternal destiny. Where will you spend eternity when you die? Because one day, unless Jesus returns, one day every single person here is going to be dead. That's the hard truth. Death is something that we will all face. We cannot escape death. So we will have to answer to this question: what did we do with Jesus? Who was Jesus to us? So have you trusted the authority of Jesus for your eternal destiny? In Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul wrote that Jesus purposely humbled himself, and he left his heavenly throne. He left all of his godly attributes. He came down, became a man. He died on the cross, and then he rose from the dead. He died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. He rose from the dead to give us life so that we could have a relationship with a holy God. And then Paul said in verse 9 of Philippians 2, therefore God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name that is above every other name, all other names. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Either in this life or in the next life, everyone will discover that Jesus really was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he has all power and all authority over everything. He reigns supreme over everything. One day, everyone is going to know this. And if you haven't made the choice to trust him with your eternal destiny, you need to make sure you do that today. There is no magic prayer you have to say. There's no abracadabra. You simply need to believe in your heart that Jesus had the authority to die to pay the penalty for your sins, and that he rose from the dead to give you life, so to give you access to the Father, to bring you into relationship with a holy God. If you haven't done that yet, if you haven't placed your trust in Jesus, make sure you do that today, because he is able to catch you into eternity as well. Jude 24. There's only one chapter in Jude. Here's two verses, 24 and 25. Now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault. All glory to him who alone is God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord. All glory, majesty, power, and authority, pay careful attention to this, are his before all time and in the present and beyond all time. Amen. All glory, all majesty, all power, all authority are his before all time and in the present and beyond all time, past, present, future. Isn't that amazing? Past, present, and future. All glory, all majesty, all power, all authority are his past, present, and future. So the Bible is not just a storybook, a history book, and it's not just a guidebook about how to do life. The Bible also tells us what's going to happen in the future. One day, at just the right time, Jesus is going to destroy Satan forever. He's going to be bound forever, completely. The last book of the Bible in Revelation tells us about that time. Here's a couple verses. Actually, just one verse. Revelation 12, verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, it has come at last, the time where all creation is waiting for this time. It's groaning for this time. It has come at last, salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night. So Jesus has all authority over heaven and on earth. And one day he's going to completely and utterly bind Satan. In the meantime, Your accuser, Satan, is day and night accusing you. He's pointing your fingers at telling you all kinds of lies, trying to get you to live in defeat, trying to get you paralyzed in fear, trying to destroy your families, trying to get you to live according to your insecurities instead of according to the authority that Jesus has given you. And he's telling you that you are not worth dying for. It's a lie from the pit of hell. He's telling you that you have to be a victim of your past. He's telling you that you should just give up. Now, he is a liar, the father of all lies. And you know what? He has no power over you because you operate under the authority of Jesus. Amen? That is the truth we need to believe. We need to walk in that truth every minute of every day. I'm going to read one last passage. And it's the same passage I read to you often at the end of sermons. But take this in. If you want to close your eyes, close your eyes. If you want to read it, read it. But take it in. Let it wash over you and receive it in your spirit as if, and it is coming from Jesus. It's coming from Jesus, who is your authority to you. Okay, so take this in. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. All authority belong to Jesus. So let's go out in the authority of Jesus and live the life he's called us to live. Remember the Great Commission. Verse 19 is, therefore go. Verse 18 is, I have been given all power and authority. Therefore go and make disciples. That's what God's called us to. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.